We're turning again to the passage we read together from Isaiah chapter 40. And we want to give our attention to those closing verses from the chapter, verses 28 through to 31. And we will spend the majority of our time in verse 31 in particular, that has been a favourite of the Lord's people for many, many years. And we trust it will be a blessing to us again. Let's just seek God's help in prayer. Our Father, we do ask for thy grace and favour to speak, Lord, through thy word, through our contemplations of it. And may it be not the voice of the preacher that's heard, but the voice of the Spirit of God. May he be our teacher. May he be the one who reveals the things of God to our soul, who awakens us out of that sleep of death and brings us in newness of life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, give us hearing ears and obedient hearts. And above all things, we pray for a new heart, for the things of God to be real and vital to our soul. And this will be a day of gladness and joy, a day of comfort and encouragement. May thy word speak to us, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. The verse 31 of Isaiah chapter 40 says that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. As you've already said, these are verses that are particularly precious to us. A favourite of some who gave us their list those few months ago when we asked for favourite verses so that we might preach from those familiar texts that are a blessing to the individual, that they might in turn be a blessing to the congregation. And I dare say that the majority, if not all, will probably have these verses either underlined in their Bible or memorized by heart, because they're precious to the Lord's people. But I want to go back a few verses to begin with this afternoon, to verse 28. There we find Isaiah tells us something concerning the Lord. He gives us lessons concerning the Lord's great names. And he refers to the God of heaven in this way. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. And as he writes these names of God, we take note of them. The everlasting God. This is the name Elohim Olam in the Hebrew. It identifies God as being the eternal God. There has never been a time when he wasn't. There will never be a time when he isn't. He's not come lately to the party in spiritual matters. He has always existed. When there was nothing, yet God was there. He is the one who has always been. There's no easy way for us to understand it. But the Lord in his wisdom has let us know that he was, he is, and he always will be the Lord God Almighty. There never has been a time, and there never will be a time, that hasn't known the everlasting God, that he hasn't existed. He is, as Isaiah reminds us, the everlasting God. And then he speaks not only of the everlasting God, but he then refers to him as the Lord. And again, draw your attention to the fact that the word Lord is written in capital letters, and it signifies for us the Hebrew name Jehovah. The everlasting God, Jehovah. Now the name Jehovah simply means the self-existent one. In other words, the whole universe and all that's been created depends upon him for its existence. It depends upon God. And yet he himself depends upon no one and nothing. He exists within himself, by himself, for himself. Indeed, we're told concerning our Savior that all things are to him and for him and unto him. He is Jehovah, the covenant-keeping God, the God who stands by his word, the God who can be trusted. This is how he identified himself to the children of Israel when he made covenant with them, when he entered into agreement that they would be his people and he would be their God. He is the covenant-keeping God, Jehovah. The creator of the ends of the earth. The one who made everything out of nothing. The one who has power to create worlds with just a word being spoken. The one who is able to hang the very stars in space. Stars that are beyond the numbering by us pure mortals, yet God, we're told, knows them by name. He is the God who is the creator of the ends of the earth. This is the God that we serve. This is our heavenly God. This is the one who has promised to be with us throughout all of the tumultuous affairs of life. He is the everlasting God. The promise-keeping God, the creator, sustainer God. And this God, Isaiah tells us, is the one that fainteth not, neither is weary, and there is no searching of his understanding. He doesn't faint. He never becomes tired or fatigued. He never grows weary. Yet in spite of the fact that he upholds all things by the word of his power, he does not faint. He fainteth not, we're told in verse 28. Neither is weary. He never grows tired from his labors. We don't ever have to worry about the Lord reaching the end of his strength. In Psalm 121, we read that he will not suffer, or he will not permit thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. He doesn't grow tired. He doesn't come to an end of his resources and strength. He doesn't fall asleep upon the job. He is ever present. And we're told there at the end of verse 28 that he possesses all knowledge, for there is no searching of his understanding. What he knows is without limit. God is without limit. Our understanding is rather limited. It can be limited because of a number of reasons, because of our education, because of our background, because of our experience. We have understanding of some things, but there are many other things that we have no understanding of. But yet Isaiah tells us that there is no searching of his understanding. There's no reaching the end of what the Lord knows about any particular subject. We might exhaust our resources and our abilities in our understanding, but not God. His knowledge is beyond human comprehension. The Savior said in Luke 12, and verses 6 and 7, are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten by God? Even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not. Therefore ye are of more value than many sparrows. There's no limit to the Lord's understanding of us. We are told throughout the Scriptures that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. There's nothing hidden from Him. There's nothing that is plotted or planned in the darkened council chambers of men's minds that God is not aware of. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. His eyes, we're told in Job 34, are upon the ways of men, and He seeth all their goings. There's nothing hidden from Him. The remarkable thing is this, however, that He is willing to share this power, this strength, and to provide help then for those who depend upon Him. And what an encouragement this ought to be to the people of God today. For you see, we do faint. We do grow weary. We do get tired. We are limited in our resources and in our understanding. There are times that we get to the end of our rope and we're hanging on with fingertips. How good it is to know that there is a God whose strength that is infinite, whose knowledge is infinite, who is willing to come alongside and give us that which we require and need, graciously, freely, from His bountiful store. Verse 30 reminds us that even the very strongest will grow weak and fail. Even the youths shall faint. The young men shall utterly fail. Young women also. Now they're renowned for their boundless energy. You spend your day chasing after a young child, you'll realize that oftentimes they have more energy than you do. When it comes to strength and labor, why, it's in our youth that we are at our strongest. But even the youths shall faint. And the young men will utterly fail. Fall. We have the potential to do great things at times, but there is a limit. There is a limit to how much a muscle can be used before it gives out, before it can lift no more. And regardless of how many times you may have handled that situation in the past, there is always the potential or the possibility that we can grow weak or wearied under the various loads that life calls upon us to endure. And our burden becomes greater than our strength. And what do we do in those times when the weight of the world seems to be weighed upon us and the burden of our sin lies heavy upon us and it seems that we have no strength to even lift our head, never mind go forward? Well, verse 31 tells us that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. The idea here of waiting upon the Lord is of depending upon Him, of looking to Him, of putting our trust upon Him. In other words, when we have stopped looking to our own strength and we begin to rely on the unfailing strength of an Almighty God, and only then will we see any progress, because they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. That word renew carries the idea of sprouting again. Coming again. You think of the grass that's cut down each time you mow the lawn, but it sprouts again. It comes forth in new life. The strength of the Lord's people, the strength that they enjoy through the various changing scenes of life, is a provision from the Lord. And just as the grass appears upon the earth in the springtime, then come summer months, turns brown, the landscape becomes dreary, that which was once a brilliant carpet of green has lost its vitality. It's almost as if it's dead and dying. Until at last its strength is renewed, the rains come, and it bursts forth into newness of life again. Well, the Lord saying, that's what we need. That gracious provision of His strength for the days of our life, the promise being that there will be grace for us when we need it, and it comes freely from the hand of the Lord. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. I want to look just for a few moments at those three descriptions given to us at the end of verse 31 of the promise of God to His people that sees them, if you like, going through the different gears of life. Some are soaring, and some are sprinting, and some are strolling. But you'll find that no matter what gear you're in, there is grace for whatever gear you find yourself in life. There's grace to help you soar. There are times when it seems that we have little energy left in our spiritual seals, when we feel defeated and deflated and unable to rise above our circumstances. I would like to remind you, to let you know, that no matter how low we might feel today spiritually, there is help for us in the Lord. He has promised that they that wait upon Him shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall ascend. If you've ever witnessed an eagle while upon the ground begin to flap his wings and to ascend above the earth and head for the sky, it's a wonderful thing to behold. To think that this bird that's held to the ground by the same gravity that binds us to the earth can somehow stretch out those massive wings and with a great flap find itself airborne and quickly rising above the earth, breaking the grip of gravity upon it, rising higher and higher until at last it is able to soar above the world and its dangers and its strife and its problems. There in those thermal streams that hold it in the sky, he's able to look down upon the world beneath him, and those things that seem so great now seem so small. God has a way of helping us break free from the things that bind us. He has a way of helping us get above our problems, above our sins, above our valleys, above our emotions, a way of allowing us to soar above the difficulties of this life. I don't know if you've ever experienced such a time when it seemed perhaps that there was no hope or no way out, and yet the Lord has come along and given strength, and you begin to rise above it all. I'm told that when the eagle is in the sky and it encounters a storm, he's not forced to land, nor does he have to fly through the storm. I'm told that it simply turns its eyes heavenwards and begins to rise above it. And while the storm fills the sky, and while the storm lashes the earth beneath it with wind and rain, that the mighty eagle soars above it all with its face toward the sun. That's the promise of God for you and I. That we will mount up with wings as eagles. We will ascend to heavenly places above the storms of life and bask in the sunlight of God's presence. He promises to give us strength to overcome the storms, to fly high above them by His grace, and not to be cast down by them. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, to soar above the affairs of life. So there's grace to soar. And there is grace to help us run. Where we're told that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. And they shall run and not be weary. So not only is there grace for us to soar in life, but there is grace for those who run. And the word run here is quite interesting. It means to dart or to move swiftly. And we are reminded, of course, that the Christian life has often been referred to in the Scriptures as a race. Paul identified his own life in such a way. He said in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be cast away. He says, I have a race to run and a fight to be engaged. And he could say to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 and 7, I have fought a good fight, and I have finished my course, I have finished my race, and I have kept the faith. To the Philippians, he said, Philippians 3, verse 13, Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I haven't got there yet. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. You've got the idea of the sprinter pushing towards the line. You can see his chest going forward as he's reaching. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm stretching and straining every fiber and muscle to reach that line. And nothing's going to stop me. Where did Paul get this strength? Where did he get the strength to run this race that set before him, pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? Where did he get that strength? By waiting upon the Lord. He got it by waiting upon the Lord. From the only dependable, reliable, unfailing source, he got it from the Lord. And he tells us something. He says that strength was renewed day by day. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Paul was able to tap into that vast resource of spiritual strength because he was a man of God and a man of prayer. And a man of the Word, a man of faith, he's waiting upon the Lord, and the Lord gives him the strength for the battles of life and for the race that he has to run. And he'll not fail us either. When writing to the Hebrews, Paul reminds us that we too have a race to run. And seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. What's the secret to secretly running our race day by day? It's looking unto Jesus. Looking to Him in prayer. Looking to Him in the Word. waiting upon them for guidance and help and strength and encouragement, and He will enable us to run that race and not grow weary. They shall run and not be weary. I can't speak for you, but I tell you something. I want to finish my race well. I don't want to drop out along the way. I don't want to be one who started the race at a great speed and ran for a great distance, going well, but stopping short of the line. I don't want to drop out of the race and not finish my course. I don't want it to be said to me or of me when I pass from this world, "He started so well, but he finished so poorly." Oh, may the Lord save us from such a testimony. It's not how we start, it's how we finish. We want to finish strongly for the Lord. We want to still be in the race come the end of our days. We don't want to have dropped out a lap before the end and lost our credibility and our testimony before the Lord. We want to keep on going, not to grow weary as we run, but to run with patience that race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, keeping our eye fixed upon the Savior. Like the sprinter as he's pushing toward the line, he's got his eyes fixed upon the goal and he's not going to stop short. Oh, may we run for the glory of God. But we can only do that as we wait upon Him. As soon as we take our eyes off the Savior, we'll be like Peter on the Sea of Galilee. We'll begin to sink, because the ability to stay afloat was not found in Peter. The only way he could walk in the water that day was because he had his eyes upon Christ. The only way that you and I are going to finish our race is looking unto Jesus, waiting upon the Lord, leaning upon Him every step of the way. May it not be said of us, as was said to the church of Galatia, Galatians 5 and 7, "Ye did run well. Who has hindered you that you should not obey the truth?" You did run well. You started well. But who hindered you? What stopped you? Who stopped you? Yourself, probably. Failing to look upon the Lord. There's grace to help us soar. There's grace to help us run. There's grace to help us walk. We're down to the lowest gear, I suppose you might say. Not every day can be filled with excitement and adventure. Not every day will see us soaring in the heavenlies. Not every day will see us running at full speed towards the line. Most of the time, most of our days, I suppose, will be spent simply walking with the Lord. There will be days we will fly high. And it will seem like blessings are coming all around us. And there will be days spent in a run, sprinting from one thing to another. Those days can be exciting, but they're only a small part of our Christian experience. Most days will be spent simply walking with the Lord. That was how Adam was to spend his days. According to Genesis chapter 3, in the verses 8 and 9, that the Lord showed up in the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day to walk with Adam. Last week, you remember, we considered the words of Micah 6, "What the Lord requires of us. What doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God." To walk with God. John said in his first epistle, "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked." There is something to be said for a consistent daily walk with God, one that doesn't vary. There's something special, very special, about the saint of God who is reliable and steady in their faith. The one who is always simply walking with the Lord wherever you find them, whenever you find them, no matter what else is happening in the world, you find them walking with God. It doesn't matter whether you meet them today and don't meet them again for another year or 10 years, they're still walking with God. And that's an indication that they're spending time with God day by day by day by day. He giveth more grace day by day. His mercies are new each morning. We come to Him each day for daily bread. Oh, to walk with God day by day in all of the affairs of life. Sometimes we're guilty of thinking that we're only serving the Lord if something big is happening. The fact is, there's nothing bigger or greater than the Christian who simply walks with God day by day, who find themselves in the Scriptures day by day, who are kneeling before the Lord in prayer day by day, who are spending time in communion with God day by day. One of my favorite Old Testament characters is Caleb. The name Caleb in Hebrew means a dog. It's not a very flattering name until you think about the faithfulness of a dog who follows his master. You know what it said of Caleb? That he followed the Lord fully. There wasn't a day when he wasn't following God, walking with God. Well, there's grace to enable us to do that. They that wait upon the Lord will not only renew their strength and mount up with wings as eagles and run and not be weary, but they shall also walk and not faint. There's grace for each day. Grace to get up in the morning. Grace to bow our heads in prayer. Grace to read the Scriptures. Grace to honor the Lord in our daily walk. And grace to do it again tomorrow and the day after. The Apostle Paul was told by the Lord, "My grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength made perfect in weakness." God was saying to him, "Paul, I'm going to give you the support that you need to make it through this day and through every day. But let me tell you, Paul, this supply comes daily. You have to seek it every day." Oh, may we have that same promise that the Lord would be faithful day by day. Here's the promise that we read in John 14. The Savior speaking, He said, "I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him. For He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you." And as we faithfully walk with God day by day, with His help and His grace, we will find sufficient grace for times when soaring is required to take us above the storms of life, time for sprinting and for running, and times for faithful walking before Him. Oh, that we might know this waiting upon the Lord, of this renewing of strength before Him, and grace for soaring, grace for running, grace for walking, grace to keep on going with the Lord, to live for Him day by day. And others around us might fall by the wayside or turn back from serving the Lord, may we persevere. And may the Lord in His time be pleased to bless and to reward and strengthen and enable with his grace. And may we be found faithful during all of the days of this life. And prove again the scriptures that tell us that as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Whatever you need for today, I will give you, said the Lord. And may we trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. Lean not upon our own understanding, but in all of our ways acknowledge him. And he shall direct our paths. May we know that grace to soar and to run and to walk. And may we know that renewing of strength. May we give to the Lord our weakness, and he in turn give us his strength, that we might live for him. May the Lord grant us such grace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.